Page 7 in our capstone books. Loose leaf. Glorious Church. Amen. Do you hear them coming, brother? Running up the steeps of it's a glorious church. privilege to be a part of that church. Amen. Marching to victory. Amen. Praise his name. Page 9 in the same book. Over page. Amen. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. Amen. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good. Praising for. Amen. I was blind and I could not see. Amen. I appreciate him with all my heart. Open my eyes. Give me ears to hear. Give me a desire to serve him. Amen. To hang on. Amen. And go home with him. Amen. Brother Stiles, would you mind taking the offering up? What a blessing it is to serve him. Amen. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord? He's been so good to me. The living Word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind and I could not see till this message found me. stand if you will. Anybody got a need upon their heart about raising their hand? Brother Jim Pitts, would you take the request?
Heavenly Father, you have allowed us together once again.
Amen.
We're truly thankful for that. We ask if you would want to be with each prayer request. The needs upon my heart, knowing they all have many loved ones that they would like to see through this message.
Amen.
So as we come through this evening, by your Son's stripes we are healed.
Amen.
And we ask you, Father, to be with each prayer request. We ask you in Jesus' name.
Amen. You believe it? Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. Anyone got a song up on their heart, especially when I sing? Amen. Anyone at all? So stand if you will. I'll go ahead and ask our pastor to come at this time. Let's sing that little chorus, Mercy Rewrote My Life. Amen.
Mercy rewrote my life.
Amen.
Message tonight, but just want to take care of a little business first this evening, and I thought I'd save the best for last. Amen. Which is the Word of God. But we find that we want to talk a little bit about this. I still call it a consource. But anyhow, it's something we, you know, must abide by. And I just want to talk to you about a few things, because things has changed and things are getting worse, and a lot more people getting it. And I've tried my best to talk to different people that's in the health field to kind of see what they're going through and different things and different medics and stuff. And again, we realize it's, as I said, it's getting worse and more people are getting it. And they're saying it's mutated to another strain, and more people catching it now and everything. And actually, sometime tonight too, we want to remember Brother Samba in prayer, because we don't know for sure what he's got, but he's been very sick for 2 weeks. And Sister Samba wanted us to remember him in prayer. And he hasn't worked for a couple weeks. And we've been trying to monitor it, but with Heather, she's kind of helped me to monitor, make sure they don't need anything, you know, and even if they would come down to the point needing money or something, we'll see what we can do to help them out and everything. But again, like I say, maybe some of you are in a situation that, you know, you don't see very many people with it and getting it and so forth, and yet others are. You know, and I guess I got more cases in Lancaster too, and I guess up there at the hospital the other day they had a couple, I think it was 10 more cases that came in, and one was in ICU. So like I say, a lot of people are starting to get it again, and the governor did mandate now that everybody wear a mask, even in a gathering like this. And I can read it to you. It's just, I'm in a position, friends, I don't, you know, I'd like to see it all go away, but it isn't. And I figure it'll get worse, you know, that's bound to. But you've got to keep in mind that I want to try to keep the doors open as long as I can. And the reason I'll explain why that I feel we should do this when we come here and gather here, the only one that doesn't have to wear a mask is me, because I'm officiating. So you know, it's one good thing of being up here and talking to you. But anyhow, this was to take effect 6 p.m. this evening, that everybody may be mandated to wear a mask in public, or I'll just read it to you in case some of you haven't read it yet. It says, all individuals in Ohio must wear facial coverings in public at all times when at an indoor location that is not a residence, outdoors, but not unable to maintain 6-foot social distance from people who are not household members, or waiting for or riding or driving or operating public transportation, such as a taxi, a car service, or private car used for riding and sharing. The order only requires those 10 years or older to wear a mask. Additional exclusions include those with a medical condition or disability, or those communicating with someone with a disability, those who are actively exercising or playing sports, those who are officiants at religious services, those who are actively involved in public safety, or those who are actively eating or drinking. I kind of told my wife, I said, where everybody could bring a cup of water, you know, but that ain't the way it's supposed to be, you know. But anyhow, then said schools should follow guidance previously issued pertaining to masks. I don't like this no more than you do. But what if we are gathered here and a visitor pops in and sees you not wearing your mask? And you say, well, would they turn us in? You don't know. There's several businesses in town right now that's being turned in because they haven't kept their mask wearing, even for the public coming in, before this came into effect. And like I say, they haven't been too successful in enforcing too much yet, but most of the businesses in town that's been turned in is bucking it, and I don't know how much they'll be able to buck it after this deal. I don't know. But anyhow, me as a pastor here, I feel we should do this. I hope you agree with me. I don't know what else to do, because like I say, and then being online, for those that can't be here, but yet some others that's, you know, watching it and listening in, whether they'll ever come in, I don't know. Whether they'll ever come to the truth, I don't know. We still have that chance, that opportunity to get to others. And but if they see these sisters sitting up here without mask on or walking around and their heart ain't right at all, then, well, they're not doing it. I'm going to turn them in. Because some people get very offended by you not wearing a mask. I went into Walmart before it was coming into effect that Walmart made it to where you had to have a mask. And maybe me and maybe one or two other people I seen in there didn't have a mask on. Now, this was before they mandated it, as far as for Walmart theirself for what they wanted to do. And I'll tell you what, I thought I was a buzzard. And everybody was watching me. I had this one old woman walk by me, and she'd give me the meanest look because I didn't have a mask on. And I thought, you know, I don't want to bring a reproach on the Lord, you know, or anything like that. And I don't want people to think I'm something different as far as you know, not obeying the laws and things like that. I don't want to bring a reproach on the Lord on that part of it. So I just feel that we're going to have to do this. You know, it's, yeah, I don't like it no more than you do. But we're going to have to wear a mask coming here. If you can't come up with one, let us know, because some of us can come up with some masks. If you can't find them, I know Walmart did have quite a few of them yesterday. I don't know what will happen after this is mandated. I don't know. But if you can't come up with one, please try to do so. Let's just try to abide by it. And don't think that, you know, Brother Steve's like doing this, because I don't. But with the situation, I just don't want to start trouble. I don't want the law coming in or the health department coming in and say, hey, you're not abiding this. Somebody turns you in, or somebody's seen you online, and these people, you know, maybe coming up to sing or something. But the only thing I can say is maybe if the specials are sung, you know, wear them up here, and when you sing, put them down and put them back up when you're done. At least people see that you're trying. And my honest opinion, I can't see anywhere in the world the mask would work. But, you know, because I have people come in the shop all the time. With their mask on, they pull it down, talk to you, and put it back up. They can pull it back down, say something, put it back up. You know, people aren't using it right, even if it did work. You know, it's just one of those silly things that is going on right now. You know, but I just don't want to be, you know, brought open that we wasn't abiding by it, because I want us to be a good example regardless of what it is, you know. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. But give to God what belongs to God. And just like the disciples, you know, they received the Holy Ghost, went out preaching the gospel and everything. They weren't allowed to do that, but they did it anyway. You know, just a little bit different situation than this. You know, it's we just got to use common sense, and I believe use what we believe that would please the Lord. You know? And if some of you have a medical issue, then, you know, and you can't take that restriction, maybe you've had a heart attack or you've got some kind of a problem, you know, I'm not going to look down on you or anything like that, but like I say, just try your best with this, and this we've got to do it, okay? And like I say, when you go back outside, normally there's not 6-foot distancing, so we'll probably have to have them on outside until we get in the cars. So, you know, we're just going to have to do it. Like I say, I don't want to do it no more than you want to. But it's just the way we got to do it. Like I say, and I'm sorry if you disagree with me, but you already seen before it ever got this bad, some churches and pastors that did not do what they were supposed to do at that time, and they brought it to light, you know, and the townspeople brought it to light, and this, that, and the other, you know, and just made a mess out of it. And so like I say, but if we'll do that, but I'm going to go over just a few things again, and talking to different people, some of the stuff I've already known, and like I say, find out new stuff all the time. But again, we got to keep in mind that this disease, of course it's the devil's what it is, but they don't know still too much about it, and they're still learning every day about it, and things are changing about it. You know, back when this first started, they said, oh, when the heat gets here in hot summer, it's going to kill it out. But it only increased. You know, so, and some of the countries where there's constant heat, it's getting worse. You know, in the same way the southern states, a lot of them's worse than they are up here. So heat evidently didn't do the trick either. So anyhow, but I just go over a few things, kind of keep in mind as a body here, what we'd like to see you do and keep in mind. But a few notes here. Keep in mind, you can only even have one of these symptoms and still have it. And, you know, you don't have to have a bunch of symptoms of it to say you got it or be tested and they say you got it. You can only have even one symptom and be tested positive. So we want to do all we can do to keep each other from getting this. Okay, I mean, because some in here are not real healthy. son, it would be really rough on him. And as I said before, I don't know if that's what I had. The doctor claims it's probably what it was back when I had that. But I couldn't imagine some of you older people going through that. I mean, and I went through it for weeks, and with fevers for almost 7 to 10 days, from fevers and things, and excruciating headaches. It was just terrible. But like I said, I'd hate to see any of you go through it. I'm hoping that ain't what Brother Salma's got, because I'm sure if he's been very sick for 2 weeks, it's very possible. But I don't know if they've tested him or not. It's kind of a little harder to communicate with him. But like I said, I'm trusting that he'll pull through that and everything will be okay. And, if you got any symptoms, any of these symptoms that they say that can be, just stay home for a couple of days to make sure, okay? Because you got to think more of your brother or sister, friends. You know, I love my brothers and sisters more than that. You know, and I don't want to, and if your children starts to cough, and they say even an itchy throat. There's a woman right now that had just got an itchy throat, had an itchy throat for a while, and went that way for a few days. They tested her. She wasn't positive. She went a few more days, still itchy throat, and then picked up another symptom or two, tested her, still not positive. Now she's gotten real bad, and now she's positive. She tested positive. So it can start out in ways, and this theory we got, well, I didn't have a fever. Don't believe that, friends. They've definitely proved this one. You can have this and not have a fever. So don't think you can, just because you got a fever, everything's okay. That's why they've kind of let down a little bit on the fever, testing fevers and stuff, because so many people's testing positive that does not have a fever. So you can't always just go by that. Well, my child ain't got a fever, so I'm going. And yet it's coughing and itchy throat and maybe it's getting nausea or something, you know. Don't take them, you know. Even if they don't have a fever, just wait a day or two and see what happens, you see. So, but again, even tiredness, very slight cough, keep that in mind. I was very tired when I got that. It got to the point there after about the third week, I couldn't even hardly stand I didn't think I'd make it back from feeding the horses. I mean, I was just so wore out and just bug clear down. So like I say, I mean, tiredness, diarrhea, headaches, lost taste of smell. I had all these things. I mean, it was every one of them. Rash, skin discoloration, fingers, toes, difficulty breathing, breathing, shortness of breath, chest pain, pressure, lost speech, movement. I didn't go as far as that part, loss of speech and stuff. I just didn't want to talk anyway. I got to the point there for a while. I said, Lord, just take me home. I'm done. You know, I just was that bad. So, again, by this, so many more cases coming out. Let's just forget the hugging and the handshaking. Just drop it for a while. And Brother Timothy, if Sister Esther would happen to call about coming, make sure you just let her know, just hold off a little bit longer. Because she's down there where there's a lot of cases in Athens. And like I said, I'd rather her just stay down there for a while and continue to stay home for a while until we see this begin to let up. Again, friends, I'm keeping you in mind, okay? You say, well, praise God, I'll get healed. That's fine, that's good. But there's some people in here who don't have that kind of faith. There's some people in here that doesn't have the strength to do that. So like I say, I feel responsible to keep you as protected as possible and to keep the health department off of us, you know, and then saying, well, because you got to keep in mind because they are tracing it now, there's many cases they found out it's being traced. If somebody in here ends up with it and the health department finds out about it, you definitely won't be no service for 2 or 3 weeks at least. And they can enforce you not going to work either. So keep that in mind. They can do that, and they have done it. Whether you want to say they ain't done it, they can't do it, and this, that, and the other, there's plenty of people saying they've done it, and it's proof that they've done that. So kind of just keep those things in mind, and we'll, by God's grace, get through this. And as I said before, something else worse could come along. And it's that time, it's that season. We're getting close to the appearing of the Lord, and many things can happen and take place. So I hope you're all with me on the same page. Believe me, I don't want to be. I don't want to see it like this. Believe me, I don't. But me being in this position, I feel that responsibility to make sure we do this. Okay? And like I said, anybody that can possibly wear the mask, do that. And like I say, and try to keep it like they want it to be the best we can. Because I'll assure you, if we don't, the old devil is going to be trying to get in and stir trouble. You know, I've seen that happen so many times over the years. You know, it just seems like it's their Satan gets in people, and that's their desire to try to close you down or to keep you from doing this and that and the other. You know, because they can't do it. You know, and so I don't know what it'll all come to, but I just know I'm serving the one true God that knows all these things, and everything will be taken care of. But I just feel we should do our part. And if nothing else, not to bring a reproach on the Lord and do what Caesar says to do, best we can. And you know, like I told the minute on the job down there, I said it'd be a whole lot easier if it was wintertime, you know. Then I'd keep my nose warm. But it's awful hot right now to be wearing those things, and even in certain buildings and things. But like I say, this is what has to be done. We just got to do the best we can. All righty. Is that okay?
Amen.
All right. I trust that you'll understand, because God knows my heart. I hate to even have to ask you to do that, but you know, we should. I really do believe it. That we should do that, and to keep any trouble down. Like I say, we don't have a clue when somebody will come in, a visitor. No clue. So, and like I say, if they see it online and maybe the wrong person and talk about it, that could be a problem also. All righty. So with that all said, now let's get to the good part, and let's just open up our heart to just a few little things tonight, you know, because no service is complete without reading the scripture, and I'm not going to hold you real long tonight, because I knew I had to do this part of it. And again, just to remind you also, if you can't come up with a mask, let us know. I'll try to help you get some and do that for you. All right, let us all stand in honor to the holy word of God, and let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, thou knowest all these things, and you knew it would all take place before the world was ever formed. Lord, it's so good to have peace in the time of trouble. Lord, just give us wisdom and guidance, Lord, on what to do and how to handle the situations as they arise. But Lord, we'd never want to cast anything upon you that would look terrible, Father, and not look right. But Father, we want everybody to know we serve you with all our heart, all our mind, body, spirit, and strength. We love you, Lord, and we appreciate you. So we ask that you would just help us and lead us and guide us, Lord. And Father, we bring Brother Samba before you. We don't know what exactly is going on there, and Lord, but you know. You know what his body needs, the healing it needs. And Lord, we appreciate him with all our heart. We ask that you would touch his body now and make him whole, and may he give the testimony that you truly are the healer, the great I am, Lord. Oh, we appreciate you so much, Father. So we ask now that you'll bless this service and open our hearts to these few little nuggets, oh God. Just help those that would need help from it. Lord, it may be something, it may not be for everybody, but Lord, I'm sure if we're hungry, there's probably a little nugget somewhere that'll be strength to us. So we ask for your leadership and your guidance, and just have the preeminence now. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to St. John, the 14th chapter. St. John 14, and read a very familiar portion of Scripture here. St. John 14, and begin to 18th verse, read down to the 20th. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, yet yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Now notice what he said. The world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Might seem like a strange little scripture to read to start off with, but nevertheless, this is the day I believe truly, after God sent his prophet and sent the word to us, that we can truly know that he's in us. Christ is living in us. The Word of God lives in us. There's a special super God that lives within his people. And how we ought to be so appreciative and so thankful to know, if you're one of them, that he has dwelt in and has the preeminence of your life. And he gives you that direction in life, that guidance in life. And regardless of what happens, what goes on around you, he's there to give you that guidance. And I'm so thankful for that. But that's why, as the prophet said, and I'll read next, in Influence, he preached in August 3rd, 1963, paragraph 23, he makes this statement. He says, "But that's the reason the Holy Spirit is such a definite must." Oh my. In this day. Such a definite must in this day. Because it is the one. I repeat, it is the one that lives your life. You don't live it yourself. It's Christ in you. Then after you've received the Holy Spirit, see, and if he doesn't have the preeminence in your life, now listen. If he doesn't have the preeminence in your life, then you just remember, you haven't received the Holy Spirit. Now think of that. If he doesn't have the preeminence in your life, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because if he's in you, he'll live his own life. You're no more your own. Excuse me. But ever since I've had that, I've had phlegm, and that's just, but God's grace will get through it. You're no more your own. You are dead, and your life is hidden God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. Notice those precious words. Your life is sealed by the Holy Ghost. When he seals it, friends, there's nothing going to break that seal. You're sealed by the Holy Ghost. So there is no way at all for you to be yourself no more. Do you remember that time in your life where you was never yourself no more, what you used to be? There was no going back to it. There was no just giving up. No, none of that. You was sealed, and you was not yourself no more, what you was with that first nature. And what you were. So, with that in mind, I want you to just think of something. Here we all come gathered again this evening. And whether we realize it or not, our precious Lord has oftentimes given us an invitation. He has given us an invitation to come in unto him. He's given us an invitation to accept him, to give our life to him. He's given us an invitation to let him fill us with his Holy Spirit, that he could live through us and have this preeminence to prove that we have the Holy Ghost. He's invited us into that. He may invite somebody yet tonight. There may be an invitation go forth. But what have we done with all these invitations? How do we approach this with him inviting us? I just want to mention a few words to you. I won't take a whole lot of time. But I want you to just think about something of the simplicity of this and what has been our attitude toward this invitation. You've got to keep in mind, friends, and we'll see it here. Our attitude toward the invitation will show what's inside of us. Yeah. We'll read a couple scriptures here, and then we'll go on with what the prophet said on some of these things. But if you want to turn with me to the book of Luke and read another very, very familiar scripture, Luke the 18th chapter. And who already knows about the rich young ruler? You already know about him, don't you? Very simple, very, probably something that's been read so many times, even children when they was little being read to them from mother, dad, or whatever. Many times the ministers has preached on it. We'll get in Luke 18 chapter 18 verse. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now notice here, he has seen the works of the Lord Jesus, and now he is asking, "Lord, what must I do to have this eternal life?" Okay? So there was obviously something there. Not only curious, but he was hungering for it to a certain realm. He was desiring to have what the Lord was talking about, okay? To have this in his life, okay? And it's going to read 19th verse. And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments," Jesus tells him. "Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." Now notice his next words he says. And he said, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." Now think of that. This young man, he had kept all these things. Jesus just gave him the word of what some of the commandments was. And then he says, plainly, openly says, "I have kept these things from my youth up." I've kept that word. Now think of that. Okay? But yet, here the Lord Jesus was still inviting him. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing." Now you've got to always remember, he knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. Yeah, he even searches them to make sure. Okay. "Yet," he said, "yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor." Now here he'd kept a lot of this other word. Did he not? Absolutely he did. He kept all this other word the Lord Jesus had mentioned so far, but now he's going to throw something else at this young man. He says, "Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Wow, now that's going quite a bit further than just honor thy father and thy mother. And all these other things that our Lord Jesus told him to do, not commit adultery and all these other things. This is going quite a bit of a step greater than those things. And sometimes when I look back and I see what the Holy Spirit is doing, even amongst the people now, and in these last few months, God is requiring more than just word that you can remember, or word that you can do on your own. Because face it, there is things in the word that you can do on your own, that you can keep on your own. There's a lot of children out there, young people that has honored their father and mother. There's a lot of people that hasn't committed adultery. Oh, there's a lot of people that hasn't stole anything. Oh, there's a lot of people. Just keep it in mind. But here Jesus is saying, sell all thou hast, give to the poor, come and follow me. So now this young man's thinking about this. Like, oh, wait a minute, I've got some things I'd like to do. I'm supposed to meet a guy tomorrow and see if I can buy this other piece of ground. I'm supposed to meet this other family over and see if I can buy an extra yoke of oxen. There's some more things I want to go check out so I can put it in my barn and take care of it, you know, and so I can have these things. And to follow him, when am I going to have time to follow him? Because I've got all these things I want to do. Okay? And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful. Think of that. Here, after keeping all this word that Jesus gave him so far, and then it comes down to get rid of everything, come, follow me. He began to think, and I want you to begin to think, how he thought. How he began to try to count the cost. And it began to be a great load to him. It becomes something to him that, oh, it caused him to have second thoughts. And by having these second thoughts, he began to have excuses. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. So he had a lot. Had a lot of material things. He had a lot of money. And to think of this, he began to think, what am I going to do with all this? I don't want to leave this. I don't want to lay that down. I'm enjoying having all these material things. I'm enjoying having all this money. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, Jesus could see. He knew his countenance had fallen. He knew it was really getting to him. He knew what this young man was thinking. He knew this young man didn't want to give that up to follow him. Yeah. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? That's where we'll stop reading on that part because I don't get that part. And the main part is what I wanted to read there. So here this young man had the invitation. The Lord Jesus was there right in front of him. And the young man even come to the point to ask, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Lord Jesus plainly told him what to do. But there was something there that just wasn't there. Something about it, I should say, that wasn't there. About this young man. That he didn't have. That was needed. Okay? Let's go to Acts 9 chapter now. Turn with me there. And let's just kind of compare two people here. That was both invited. And the Lord Jesus had come to both of them. Okay? Acts 9 chapter, let's begin the first verse. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. We kind of talked about Paul the other night. And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, there shined around about him a light from heaven. Now, here was another invitation coming. Yeah. And he fell to the earth. Paul did. At that time was Saul. And heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? As the prophet talked about, you know, Paul knowing what he knew, being a Jew, had been taught, so he knew it had to be the Lord doing this. Okay. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against a prince. And he, trembling and astonished, you just imagine how we would tremble to see something like that, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? The rich young man, he had a question. What must I do to have eternal life? And Paul, with what he's seen, now he's saying, what must I do? Yeah. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. See, the light had blinded him. Okay. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Now, kind of notice the difference between these two people that came face to face. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Ain't that nice when the Lord, you know the Lord knows when you're praying? Yeah, there's so many places that he lets us know he knows. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answers, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. Now, you see the difference? Already we see the difference. Both of them had an invitation, but one was chosen. Okay? To bear thy name, or to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul. Notice how then he called him brother. Because the Lord done revealed to him he was chosen. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Every time I hear that, being filled with the Holy Ghost, I just love it. Amen. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight for it, and arose, and was baptized. So he what? He obeyed. He went and got baptized. Right? Now, thinking of those two after reading the scripture, I want you to think of this, what the prophet's saying. Now, first he's going to bring out about the little woman. I thought we'd bring it in with it. The little woman at the well, okay? Very simple little things. But yet I want every one of you to listen. I want you young people to listen, okay? This was, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? June 30th, 1963, begin paragraph 241. The little woman, when she walked up there in her immoral state, living with 6 men, and when she walked up there in that state she was, and Jesus said, bring me a drink. And the conversation started. Now the invitation come to this little woman. Yeah. Go get your husband and come here. She said, I don't have any. Said, you said the truth. You've got 5, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. She said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Oh. Representation of predestination, as a prophet would say. Well, Sir, I know the Messiah will do that when he comes. Jesus said, I am he. Now, we may not take the word like we should and need to oftentimes. Even coming here and renewing our minds to it and to bring this word, or to sit there and read the scripture, or sit there and listen to the prophet's message. Actually, I was sitting at lunchtime listening yesterday at one of the prophet's messages, and it made me think of these things. And I thought, you know, does people realize the great invitation they've had? And how are we as individuals accepting the invitation? Even as young people sit here. Maybe middle-aged sit here. Maybe it's not filled with the Holy Ghost yet. Maybe older people. Who knows? I don't know. God only knows, you see. But how many times has God invited us? Do we come up with an excuse? Or do we have a feeling of, I wouldn't be able to do this if I had to become, just using the simpler terms, if I had to be a Christian? If I was ever filled with the Holy Ghost, there'd be a lot of things I couldn't do. God knows my heart. I never, ever, ever in my life had ever thought any such thing when I was seeking the Holy Ghost. Of what, oh, maybe I wouldn't be able to do, or I couldn't do this. Why, if I was to be a Christian, I wouldn't be allowed to go there. I wouldn't be able to go do this thing. Never crossed my mind. No. It was always, Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to do? It's not worrying about what you got to give up. It's not worrying about the burden that's going to be on you. I'd be a little worried if that's the way you're thinking. Because any time you find where God's chosen and God got a hold of them, they wouldn't worry about what they was going to lay down and leave behind. No. There wasn't going to be no trouble. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Yeah. He goes on to say, he says, that settled it, see. Now, see, as soon as that little woman heard Jesus do that, she knew. She had been taught when the Messiah comes. That's how she knew. She'd been taught that when the Messiah comes, he'll do this. So that laid in the back of her mind all this time, you know. And she no doubt probably was thinking, oh, if I could only see this Messiah. If I could ever run onto this Messiah. If I ever could have this, just sit down and talk to him. I'm sure she probably went at these things with her mind, knowing she understood these things, that this was supposed to happen sometime. She didn't know when. She knew it was supposed to happen. She'd been taught from her mother, dad, whatever, and generations on up that this was supposed to happen. Turn back and we spoke on the Old Testament, okay, because they read the Old Testament. All right, so we find here, so he says, that settled it. When that light flashed across that seed, laying in that little old harlot, the harlot days was now over. Wow. Isn't that something? Does that sound like people struggling and trying to quit doing this? That's why Brother Branham said many times, because there's so many places in the Scripture proves it. If the Bible says, don't do this, the body quickly turns to it. Why? There's a seed laying there. If it ain't got a seed in there, it's, oh, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to do that. That'd be too much. That's too much trouble. That's too much problems. When you think serving God is too much of a problem and too much of a hassle, you really need God, if you can get him, if the seed's laid in there, okay? He says, oh my, he said the hard days was over. In the street she went glorifying God, said, come and see a man who told me the things I've done. Isn't this the Messiah? What was it? The light got to that seed back under the shadow of a prostitute shelter. Yes, sir. Now let's close in on this saying. I don't know how many more pages. I'm not sure. He says, he goes on and talks about closing off. He said, let's compare something here. So let's compare something. So let's pay attention while he's going to compare. Let's compare something. One time of a life worthy. Let's compare the life of St. Paul to the rich young ruler. Now listen what the prophet says with the wisdom and knowledge he's got. The same light, I want you to think of that. The same light struck both men. Think of that. The same light struck both men. Both had the same invitation from Jesus Christ. Think of that. Both had the same invitation from Jesus Christ. Who's what? The Word. Yes. That's right. They both was well trained in the Scriptures. Did you ever think of it that way? Even this rich young ruler? They was both well trained in the Scriptures. Paul was, and this rich young ruler. They were both theologians. Remember, Jesus told the rich young ruler, keep the commandments. And said, he said, I've done this from my youth. He knew what the Word said. How many of us sitting here know what the Word says? Absolutely we do. We know exactly what the Word says. Okay? He was a trained man. And so was St. Paul. Both were well trained in the Scripture. Both of them had the Word. Wow. If you listen to this, you'll see the picture of today. One had it from knowledge. And the other one had it, a germ of life. When that light flashed across it in front of Paul, he said, Lord, who are you? Rich young man didn't go that far. He's seen the works that Jesus done. He's seen the signs Jesus done. Knew as a very powerful man to think of it. And thought, wow, this man's preaching of eternal life. What must I do to have this? Great man. But this rich young ruler had something lacking, which was a germ of life. He said, when Paul said that, he said, I am Jesus. Here I am. Here I am, Paul said. I'm ready. Look at the difference between seed and non-seed. I'm ready. Give me all you got, Lord. Give me it all. I need you. But not the rich young man. He was sitting back and thinking about all he's going to have to give up. Think about that. The light struck both of them, he repeats. Think how God's Holy Spirit, how it's struck us. We've all had an invitation. Yes, we have. But one was germatized. The other was not. That's the way it is today. Church spiritual and church natural. The rich man had his excuses. So, I want you to think of this when we think our excuses is well worthy to be thought about. When we think our excuses are so important of why I wouldn't really want to sell out to the Lord and really be a real Christian. I want you to think about this parable. Yeah. The rich man had his excuse. He couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. I've had a lot of people over the years tell me that, friends. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. So I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to forget it. I know I can't do it. Do you realize how scary that is? Wow. If a person just fess up and say, I can't do it. I ain't got it in me. I've heard that. I ain't got it in me. They don't realize how true they were speaking. A seed wasn't it? See? He was too weighted down. This rich man was. He was too weighted down. Makes me think of many people today that's too weighted down. They ain't got time for God. He was weighted down with too many friends of the world. He didn't want to quit associating. Didn't want to quit associating with their filth and different things they wanted to do. Yeah. That's what's the matter with a lot of people today. You think because you belong to a lodge or you just couldn't forsake that brotherhood, see? They all drink and things like that, and they do this, all right, and go along with it. Nothing against the lodge, nothing against church. I'm talking about you. Nothing against that, see? For six of one, half a dozen the other. I just got through telling you the church was nothing but a lodge, the denominations, if they deny the word of God. How true it is. And the lodge denying the word. But notice the rich man had his excuses. Notice how he illuminates us again. The rich man had his excuses. But never will you find Paul had excuses. No. Paul just knew. He needed God really bad. Yeah. And whatever the price was, here I am, Lord. And Paul paid a great price. He did. He says he'd never forsaken his testimony. He'd find out and went to great business and he had knowledge and he went to such a place to have increased so much till he had to build new barns to put his things in. And when he died, some bachelor with his collar turned around preached his funeral. No doubt they did. And when he did, he might have said, they have mast or half mast the flags and said, our dear beloved brother, the mayor of the city, now in the arms of the Almighty. They're doing the same thing today. Just look at him in the newspaper. Everybody dies, goes to heaven. Everybody wants to go see the Lord. I'm always saying no. Because he was a great member of the church. And he did so and so and so and so. And the Bible said, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And remember, he still wanted to hold his profession in hell. Look at that. He's seen Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he said, Father Abraham, he knew the word. Father Abraham, send Lazarus down here, still calling him Father. Yeah. You ever think much about that? So there's going to be people burning in hell that know the word? Absolutely. A lot of them that know the word. He took his knowledge. And he went to an intellectual church. When the light struck him, he turned it down. When the light struck him, he turned it down. I think of how many times the light has struck and how many times people have turned it down. It may be your last time on this day. If that isn't the modern trend of the church today, I don't know what is. No matter what God flashes across their path, the pillar of fire, or whatever it might be, and God flashed across our path, that pillar of fire, it showed us what it was, what it meant, and everything. He showed it right, shined it right across our path. But he spoke of in the scripture of having a prophet in this last age, and he did that. God fulfilled it. Yeah. Can't deny it. Yeah. And they still, with their knowledge, they can explain it away and go to some intellectual group for the social standing. But Paul was already in the social standing with great knowledge, a great scholar under Gamaliel, a right hand to the high priest, and so much till he went to the priest and got orders to put all them holy rollers in jail. But when the light struck his path, he seen that that same pillar of fire that led Israel through the wilderness was Jesus Christ. Wow. And he forsook all he ever knowed and come to life. Wouldn't you rather, much rather be the one that comes to life? He said, well, Brother Stephen, you might sit there and say, well, if I ain't got it in me, I just ain't got it in me. But what if the Holy Ghost has been the last few weeks dealing with your heart? And something's pecking on the inside. Are you going to get too busy and have too many things to do, too many places to go, too many people to see, things to take care of, and push that aside? And then make excuses why you ain't got time to do it? That you've got this to do, and you've got that to do, and I've got to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to go here, and I want to go there. I want to go see him, and I want to go see her, and this, that, and the other. Are you making excuses? Are you sitting here thinking, well, if I was to be this Christian, brother, Steve, pastor, man, that you're talking about, been talking about the last few weeks, I wouldn't be able to do this. And I wouldn't be able to do that. Don't you realize that all the types show that those with that kind of an attitude wouldn't seed? But if you're seed, there's something about it, friends. You will cry out for this with all that's in you. Yes, you will. I know from experience. Even that little boy, as I've told you many times, oftentimes, many times, not even old enough to maybe realize what's going on, but someone's crying out. It was the message he talked about, the prophet then, a deep calling to the deep. If there is something calling out on the inside of you, there must be something to respond to that call. But don't push that call away. Don't get too busy. Don't get caught up in doing this and that and the other and trying to keep up with somebody else and what they're doing and feeling you got to go do this and you got to go do that. Now, as I've said, I'm sure I did over the years, I remember a time, of course, back then, that had been years ago, that a lot of the young men in the church at that time, going to ball games and everything. And even, I didn't even have the Holy Ghost then, friends. But yet, of course, they talked me into going. And actually, one of them was actually from the church, was out there playing in the game. And as a young man sitting there and seeing what was going on, there's just something about it. It just turned me off so bad. They talked me into going, but then there was something talking me out of getting out of there. And at that time of year, it was very cold. It was getting real cold that night. I had nobody to pick me up at that time. But my vehicle was setting about probably close to three, probably a mile away from where I was at. And I left, and I was talking to the Lord From the time I left that game, where it was at, I got to my car. Just explain to him, I don't know, Lord. Same for me. I'm out of place. I feel so out of place. All these people jumping up and screaming and showing their support for the school and everything, you know. I felt so out of place. But I walked at night and the moon was shining. Talking to the Lord all along the way. Until I got to my car. I thought, and there was just something strange about it. That's the way it had been all my life. My oldest brother and sister at that time, the youngest woman born at that time, go out doing the things they do, drinking and smoking, hiding this, that, and the other, and try to get me involved, and I felt so out of place. I said, see ya, I'm gone. And my oldest brother said, you don't belong here anyway. And I didn't. I didn't fit in. I didn't fit in with the neighbor boy and getting out there and drunk and everything and drinking and acting crazy. I just didn't fit in. It wasn't for me. Yet I didn't know all about it. But there was a deep calling to the deep. Someone inside. You don't know how many times I'm so thankful for that. Because without that, I'd been in the same condition they was in. And every one of us young men, it was at that ball game. We get up in front of the church and sing in the choir. Yeah. And sing. We'd practice to sing our songs. Yeah. I thought, oh Lord. I always did feel out of place with them. All of them. I'm just expressing things. Because I'm just checking to see if there's any other young people that feel that way. They'd always want to come to the farm and be with me between services on Sunday. And the first hour they'd be there, I'd be so tired of them being there. Because they're so foolish. They didn't want to grab you and try to throw you down and wrestle and this, that, and the other like normal boys would do, you know. They'd want to do this and do that. It wasn't right. And I just couldn't even take that. Them coming and wanting to spend a day. Of course, they all wanted to because they wanted to come to the farm and they wanted to do this, that, and that. It was a little fun, you know. I couldn't take that anymore. I just couldn't stand it. Because I knew. It wasn't what God wanted. But yet, I didn't know what it was all about yet. But again, I thank God for that. On the inside, there was something. It was pulling. Something that made me feel strange and different among many people. That I was not a part of. I didn't belong there many times. I knew I wasn't part of that group. I'm so thankful for that. That's before I even had the Holy Ghost. Yeah. But thank God when the Holy Ghost came. Friends, I can assure you, and listen to me, young people, you will be so happy and have such peace if you really give your heart to the Lord. And not sit here and just build up intellectual knowledge of the Word. Yeah. It won't do you no good. No. Until you get Christ on the inside. But I'll assure you, I'll guarantee you, it's worth it all to be His child.
Amen.
To serve Him through each last long while. It's worth it all. Amen. Assurance? Yes. If the Lord takes me tonight, I know where I'm going. Yes. By His grace. If the Lord would take me, don't you boo-hoo about me. I just say, thank the Lord He's making His journey. Hallelujah. Don't worry about me. You worry about yourself. Yeah. You make sure you find that place in Christ. You see? Amen. I'll quit there. May the Lord bless his word in our hearts. Amen. Trying all I can do, friends. Try to get that last one in. As I said before, it might be right here, said he. Right here might be the last one to get in. I don't know that. You don't know that. But God knows who it is. You see? Amen. Won't you, sisters, come to Christmas, please? I was going on with it, but I've held you long enough. Couldn't plan on going that long. Amen. Praise the Lord. But again, back on the other thing, make sure, do the best you can with it. Will you please do that for me? Amen. We'll get through this thing. All right. Amen. And if any of you have any questions on it, let us know. I'll try to help you out on it. But I think it's pretty simple. And make sure when you go out and do your things, shopping things, make sure you wear it. Don't just make yourself look like some oddball that you're trying to outdo somebody, you know, because you're only going to look bad. That's what you'll do. Like I say, I don't like it either, but like I say, I don't want to bring a reproach on my Lord at all. I want to be a law-abiding citizen and do what, you know, the government wants you to do. Now, if it was to keep me from serving the Lord some way, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give to God what belongs to God. Yes. Amen. All right, let us all stand. Amen. Don't you love him? Do you feel his Holy Spirit dealing with your heart? Oh, my. Don't let it pass you by. Let's sing a little chorus. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Opportunities, Lord, may we be so thankful. Lord, just talking to my family tonight about this before we came to church, I couldn't help but think about the early church and the things that they went through. And you didn't see them complain. even when Paul and Silas was in prison, beaten, and they've still found a way to praise you and glorify your name, found it to be worthy, Lord, that maybe something that they was going through, it was a discomfort to their flesh, Lord, that they could still show those around them that they had something on the inside that was burning. Something that was true, something that was real. I believe even in the one, I don't know the exact situation, but when he was talking about even the guards, Lord, they seen something in them that they were saved also, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as we go through each day, Lord, may we do our part, Lord, to think of others more than ourselves. And Lord, not to be complainers, but Lord, just be thankful that we have something on the inside. That we have that light of your truth, Lord, that's leading us, guiding us every footstep along the pathway of life that we're going through. That you're always mindful of us, what we're going through. We thank you for all the prayers of the saints, Lord, as they pray one for another. Because, Lord, each one of us have different problems that we may face in life. What may be one struggle for one, maybe another one's not going through it. But it seems like, Lord, we can feel a strengthening from you, Lord. Knowing that, Lord, you hear the prayer of your saints. And though Satan may try to make us believe that you don't hear us, or maybe that he's not, that you're not concerned with us. Maybe he tries to drag us down, make us feel like we're nothing. But just thinking about how the prophet said, how you love your people so much, you watch over them so carefully. And even so more that you watch over your word, Lord. And Lord, that really struck me, Lord, how much you must love us. That, Lord, you don't want to see any of us be lost. You don't want to see any of us get drugged down and listen to Satan's lies. So, Lord, may we continue to hold one another up in prayer. And, Lord, just asking, Lord, those that need healings, Lord, that you would touch their bodies, Lord, and heal their bodies. If they have a financial need in their life, maybe there's something going on. Maybe they won't say nothing to nobody, that they need help financially. May you lay it upon our hearts, Lord, that we would be there to help one another in this hour that we're going through. That, Father, as the bride of Christ, each day that we're going through, Lord, may we keep you always before us. And, Lord, just follow your leading in our lives. We just love and appreciate you and love your word and pray that you just have your way in everything that's said and done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus as we go. I will praise him. I'm trying to remember how.